Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. And yes, today's date is Thursday, June 7, 2018. So we are so grateful to be with you all once again to bring forth God's Word on tonight. And as usual, and especially for the first-time listeners, I'm asking that you would get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight. In the person of Minister Saran Rambis will be bringing forth the Word of God on tonight. So as I'm asking all listeners, get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that when he comes forth, you can follow along with him as we go through the Word of God together on tonight. But as we always do, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as once again we come in that precious name, Jesus Christ, your only begotten, beloved Son, that we come in his name giving you glory, we come in that name giving you honor and praise because of who you are. You are so worthy of our praise. And Father, we thank you for this another day that you have made and allowed each one of us to see. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus Christ. And why do we ask in that name? Because we know that we cannot be forgiven in the name of any man, but we can only be forgiven in your Son Jesus' name. So forgive us on tonight of all of our sins and our transgressions in your Son Jesus' name, so that our work for you would not be in vain. And Father, is our prayer on tonight that should there be any listeners that are not saved in your Son Jesus' name on tonight, that something will be said through your man of God and through your word on tonight that will prick their hearts, that each one of them will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name on tonight and come to know and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer for them. And also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are incarcerated, those that are incarcerated for unjust reasons, Heavenly Father, and that have been incarcerated falsely. It's our prayer and hope and desire that something will be done, Heavenly Father, that you will be able to maneuver some kind of way, because we know that you're able, that they will be able to be, that their conviction will be able to be overturned, that they can be released back into society and fulfill their God purposes in the earth, because we know that all those that are incarcerated are not guilty. Some are innocent, but we know that you know who they are. So it's our prayer that you will move on their behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we come touching and agreeing on behalf of those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies on tonight, that you would touch, heal, and deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. For we know that you are our healer. We know that you are the doctor. You're the chief physician that has never lost a patient. So, Heavenly Father, we also come in the name of Jesus, lifting up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We lift up all those that are especially affected by the hurricanes and the different volcano eruptions that's going over in Hawaii and Guatemala, all those different people that have lost lives. We pray, Lord, and lift up every family that has been affected, that you move on their behalf and send release their ways, Heavenly Father. Give them comfort and strength and let them realize and know that you are still in control, and that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. And also, Heavenly Father, I come thanking you on behalf of my cousin, Pastor Norman King, that you spared his life on today. Heavenly Father, you avoided an accident that would have been really severe and really bad. A lot of lives could have been lost. But God, if we know that it was you. So he called me today with a praise report, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and letting me know that he couldn't keep it to himself. He had to let me know and let the world know that it was you that intervened and saved his life and spared other lives on today. So we thank you for that, and we're grateful for that on tonight. Heavenly Father, we just ask on tonight that you will move by your Spirit through your man of God, Minister Rambis. Have your way, Lord. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified through us. And Heavenly Father, we come in a special way lifting up the housing individual, Ben Carson, on tonight. Heavenly Father, he has in his mind and all that are in the same mindset of him. We want to increase those that are on disability, that are receiving subsidized housing. We want to increase their rent to 21% more than what they're paying now, and they can barely pay the rent that they are paying now because they're on fixed incomes. We pray, Lord, that you will move on their behalf and touch the hearts and minds of Ben Carson and those that are thinking like him, that would even have the audacity to try to raise those people's rent, that you would change their hearts and minds, Heavenly Father, that they would do what's right and let the people remain where they are. Because you know that so many are barely able to afford the rent that they're paying now. So we know that the enemy comes in many forms to kill, steal, and destroy the hopes and dreams of your people. So we pray that you would touch the hearts and minds of Ben Carson and those that are thinking about raising the rent of those that are poor and unfortunate. Give them a heart of love and compassion towards your people, that you would be glorified through it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we just ask that you would continue to bless each listener. Give them and grant them the desires of their hearts. And we thank you for each listener, Lord. We don't take them lightly or for granted. We thank you for this worldwide platform. And we don't take it lightly or for granted either. We just thank you for it. We ask that you will continue to move by your Spirit through it, and that it will become everything that you have called for it to be. For your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, the spiritual food for thought tonight comes to us saying, it's praising God in your DNA. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought comes in the form of a question. It's praising God in your DNA. That's what it should say. I read it wrong. It's praising God in your DNA. not your mother's DNA, not your pastor's DNA, but your own DNA. It's your praising God in your DNA on today. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcements, I have one announcement that I would like to make before our music break. And then before we bring forth Minister Rembrandt, who's going to bring forth God's word on tonight. Again, listeners, I do pray and hope that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with him as we go through God's word together on tonight. In the form of announcement for tonight, Spiritual Care of Southfield presents Suicide Prevention Seminar, which will be taking place on Saturday, June 23rd at 12 noon, and the address is 8651 Mount Elliott. That's on the east side of Detroit. Lunch will be provided. For more information, you can call area code 248-996-9895 and ask for Sherman Ford, or you can go to their website, spiritualcareofsouthfield.org. Once again, Spiritual Care of Southfield presents its suicide prevention seminar, which will be taking place Saturday, June 23rd, 12 noon, and the location is 8651 Mount Elliott. Please pass the word. Lunch will be provided. For more information, you can call area code 248-996-9895, or you can go to their website, spiritualcareofsouthfield.org, and you can ask for Sherman Ford. That is my announcement for tonight. I do pray that your listeners, again, I cannot stress it enough that you can make sure you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready. And the reason I ask that you get your Bibles and pens and paper so that you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word is so many people do not read God's word and they do not open God's word to see what God's word say. I don't want anyone to take it lightly or for granted to think that we make up things over this worldwide network. We go by what the word of God says. So that's why it's important that you read it for yourself. The word of God tells us, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we thank God for Minister Rambis as he gets forth, get ready to bring forth God's word very shortly. But this song on tonight, I want to encourage someone through this song on tonight, and I pray that you will be blessed by it, this song on tonight, that you will be blessed by it, that you will be motivated to continue to run on in Jesus' name. Enjoy the music break. And as God is the strength of my heart.
Yes, I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to want for nothing. God is everything that I need. I need somebody in here that believes that God can be everything that you don't have to ask no questions about it. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. You stress out for no reason. But I come to tell you that God is the strength of my life. And my voice is forever. Come on, put your hands together. Come on. This is a rhythm song. We're going to have y'all sing a rhythm, all right?
This is God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Say, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Say, He is my hope. Yes, He is forever. Tell me, say, God. Yes, He is. He is my hope. Hope forever.
Now the writer says, he said, my heart was broken. I was pricked in my reign. But he said, nevertheless, God, I'm forever with thee. Then he asked the question. He said, whom else in heaven? There's nobody on the earth. God, my desire is to be with thee. Now, come on, can you make some noise in this place that God is the strength of your heart and He is your portion forever? We want to have a thing that, come on, say,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the joy of my heart, the strength of my life, my portion forever. I know that song has touched somebody's heart on tonight. I get joy every time I hear that song, and I pray that it was a blessing to someone on tonight other than myself. But right now, we are so excited to bring forth the man of God on tonight, the man of the hour. Minister Sharon Rambis has been ready to bring forth God's word. Minister Rambis, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, but for the listeners, do not hang up your phones. Do not go off the internet. Once he concludes with his message, he's going to be doing a closing song after he closes out with his message. And the song is titled Through It All by the St. James Adult Choir. Evangelist Renee Thomas is the soloist. So you want to be blessed by that song after he has concluded with his message on tonight. So right now I'm yielding the mic to Minister Sharon Rambis to deliver God's word.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. I just come to tell you that God is good, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for another opportunity to come and share his word with you in Detroit, this beautiful spring-like, summer-like day. We thank God for the sunshine, and we thank God for just his provisions and his mercy and his grace today. And so just want to encourage the saints to hold on a little while longer, and that trouble don't last always. Amen. But there is a word from the Lord, and it's coming. Before we pray, you can prepare. It's coming from Romans 5, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So our text for tonight is coming from. I thank God for this opportunity once again to share his word. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it as a given, but take it as an honor and a privilege, because God is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of nature, and so he got birds that can sing. He got crickets that can chirp and frogs that can ribbit his praises, and I just thank God that he chose me to also speak a word on his behalf of his goodness and his mercy, and to be able to give him praise. So before we read our text, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come to this preaching moment. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your love and kindness. We thank you for protection. Lord, we thank you for just keeping us, Lord. And as the temperature on the outside goes up, we know that tempers flare. So tempers also go up. So, Lord, we ask that you allow in this season, let peace reign, let peace rule. Lord, and those that have suffered loss of loved ones and suffered sickness, and Lord, we know that you're a restorer, and we know you're a company keeper. We know you're a peace giver. We know that you're a comforter. So Lord, we ask that you would touch them. But now as your word go forth, we ask that it will be light and give life to your hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so for tonight, our text is Romans 5, 1 through 5. I'll be reading the King James Version for your hearing. And it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the word of God is blessed. And just for tonight, for a thought, I'd like to encourage you that there is purpose in your problems. Amen. That there is purpose in your problems. And so life is filled with drama. We all know some drama kings and drama queens. And when that drama comes, you notice it, I said that when that drama comes, not if it comes, because we know it's coming. Because Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. But I don't know anyone who loves to embrace trouble and trials and drama and dilemmas. I don't know anyone who welcomes life difficulties so that they can give God the glory, so that they can lift up holy hands in worship, so that they can go to our catchphrase, I'm blessed and highly favored. But in reality, we should rejoice with every problem that is sent our way. That is why the Bible tells us in John 16:33, the A clause, that these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Then James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation. You notice the word said, when ye fall. But I want to encourage you that some of your problems that you're facing is not because you are out of the will of God, but it's because you are in the will of God. Because there is purpose in your problems. God has a purpose on the other side of your problems. And so as we look at our text tonight, that is what Apostle Paul is telling the church in Rome. And I believe that we should get in on this. Because I am not saying that we should welcome our problems, but we should be prepared in how we handle and how we deal with our problems. We should be able to process our way through our problems. And as we look at our text, we see that the apostle is talking about being justified by faith. This is important because it is by faith that we will be able to process and navigate our way through our problems. He says that we have been justified by faith, and it's because of that faith, the faith that we have peace with God. See, people will get involved with a lot of things just to try to find peace. Not only peace with God, but just to find peace. People will get involved with a lot of people just to try to find peace. They will seek Great Goose to try to find peace. Now they got the government helping them, but they was trying to seek Mary Jane to try to find that peace. They would try to seek a new boo or a new side piece to try to find peace. But in order to find real peace, to find that peace that God gives, you got to have faith. In order to find peace in any area of your life, it starts with finding peace with God. Because if you are justified by faith, God treats you just as if you did nothing wrong. That's why it's important. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God treats me just as if I have done nothing wrong. So the next time somebody tries to hold something over your head, tell them that you're justified. Because it's not that I was not guilty. It's not that you haven't done anything wrong. It's just that we've been justified. Thank God that he justified me. But I'm glad that the God that I serve, he treats us just as if we never did anything wrong. And so, and we know some of those wrong things. I'm not going to try to name them, you know. And some of those things we just don't do as much as we used to. But thank God that he justified us. So therefore, we can have peace with God. And so then in verse 2 says that through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And so faith unlocks the door. Faith gives you access to the grace of God in your life. And so grace is how God empowers us to do and to become what he created us to be. Because I know I got one witness that you have been kept only by the grace of God. That you have been empowered by the grace of God. That it was the grace of God that has kept you. Thank God for his grace. And then Apostle Paul goes on to say, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so when we face our problems, we are to stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I know it sounds crazy. Just stick with me. I'm going somewhere. But we are to stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And hope in the glory of God, in the ability of God, in the strength of God. We rejoice in the power of God. And all these things display God's glory. And so we are to hope or trust that God will show up. And not only show up, but show out in a way that it won't be any doubt that it was nobody but God. Have you ever had God to do anything in your life and it was so evident that it was only God, that it was only a God that could have done a thing like that? It was so amazing. It was so fantastic. It was so phenomenal. It was so dope. It was so stunning. It was so awesome. It was so incredible. It was so wonderful. It was so marvelous. It was so wondrous. It was so mind-blowing. It was so remarkable. I'm talking about the glory of God. Has God ever done anything like that in your life? Glory to God. But then in verse 3, Paul says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. So we have to take the good with the bad. And so this is where it might seem a little off key, a little tilted. But it all comes back to giving God the glory. But it says that we are to glory in tribulation also. And so the word glory in verse 3 is different from the glory in verse 2. For the glory that is in verse 3 means to praise, means to praise, to shout, to boast. I'm sorry, that's the glory in verse 2, but the glory in verse 3 is to recognize, is to glory in the evidence of God. And so this is why we can do this. This is why we can glory, because God is going to come and see about us. God is going to make everything all right. And so the question comes to mind, why should we glory in tribulation? Why should we boast about tribulation? And so let's look at the word tribulation from its origin. It originates from the word tribulum. And so a tribulum is an ancient Roman word. And so it's a sledge that is used for threshing. It's a broad, heavy board with many teeth of iron or stone. And so it was used for threshing or for applying pressure to separate the wheat from the chaff, used to separate the good stuff from the bad stuff. And so God uses tribulation to separate the good stuff that is in us from the bad stuff that's in us. Because we all need God to remove some things from our lives. We all need God to thresh some things from us. But ain't it good to know that God loves us so that he would take that stuff away from us that's not good for us? I didn't say the stuff that felt good and the stuff that looked good. I said God take the stuff that was not good for us. He'll separate us from those bad thoughts and some of those bad feelings and some of those bad relationships. He'll separate us from some of those people we had no business hanging around, some of those places we had no business going. And so he allows the pressure of tribulation to get rid of some of those bad things. So Paul tells us to glory in our tribulation. And then he says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Yeah, some of us need patience. I'm going to read that again. And patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And so tribulation produces patience. Tribulation teaches us to wait. And so what are we waiting on? Who are we waiting on? We're waiting on the Lord, God Almighty. We're waiting on the Lord to come through. I wonder if I got a witness who had to wait on the Lord. And you waited and waited. But your testimony is that he showed up. That he brought you out, that he delivered you, and that he made everything all right. And so the Bible says in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And the Bible says in Psalms 27 and 14 that those that wait on the Lord, should be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so I know that is a little rough, but wait. I know that they're getting on your nerves and you're ready to walk out, but wait. I know the way seems dark and it gets dreary, but wait on the Lord. And so God has already put what we need in us to handle tribulation. He already knows that, he already know that we can handle it. And so what he's doing, he's bringing those things out of us. He's bringing us to a realization and to a revelation that we got what it takes to go through it. So our tribulations and trials teaches us to wait on God, because he will come through. Verse 4 says, and patience, experience. And so experience means to encounter and observe. And so patience produces experience. And so your patience has caused you to have an encounter and to be in a position to observe God's handiwork in your life. And so your patience has caused you to have an encounter with God. And so I wonder if anybody had an encounter with God. And so after your encounter, you found out some things. You found out that that old proverb is true, that experience is the best teacher. And so your experience has taught you that he is an on-time God. Your experience has taught you that God will show up. Your experience has taught you that God will come through. And so he may not come when you want him, but I hear some of y'all saying that he's an on-time God. And my response to that is, yes, he is. Your experience has taught you that God is a burden bearer and that he's a heavy load sharer. Your experience has taught you that God is love, that God is just, God is just simply good, good. God is able, God is faithful. And so experience is that stuff that you know. You know, you know that you know that you know. You might not be able to describe it. You might not be able to articulate it. But it's that stuff that you know. And so, and once you know, can't nobody make you doubt it, because you've seen him work. You know that he is bread when you're hungry. You know that he will dry your weeping eyes. So don't nobody have to tell you that, because of some things that your experience has taught you. And so tribulation gives you patience, and patience gives you experience. And so now in verse 4, experience gives you hope. And so hope is expectation. The expectation that God will and God can work it out. Hope gives you the ability to expect that everything will be all right. Hope will keep you from going off on people. Hope will keep you from throwing in a towel. Hope will keep you in the right frame of mind. And so verse 5 said, hope maketh not ashamed. And so in other words, I serve a God who will not make me ashamed. I serve a God who will not put me to shame, who will not leave me hanging, because the love of God, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, God loves me, and his love is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to have hope. Hope that no matter how helpless and how dark and how dim our situation or circumstance look, that somehow, some way, God will work things out in our favor. That deep down inside, I just believe that God will work things out for me. I mean, I don't need to know how. I don't need to know when. But all I need to know is that God will work things out. God is going to do something. I don't know what time he's going to do it. I don't know what route he's going to take. I don't know who he's going to use, how quick or how slow, how fast, but I know that he is going to do something. And so all I know is that trouble don't last always. It won't always be like this. It would not always be dark. Because the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And so somehow, some way, I got to believe and hold on to the fact that joy is coming. And so that's a word of encouragement to somebody that's going through tonight. To hold on, because I can see the breaking of day. Joy is coming in the morning. And so I got confidence that God is going to fix it for me. God is going to make a way for me. And so if God can get Jesus off that old rugged cross, and if God can get Jesus up out of that old borrowed grave, and if God can raise Jesus on the third day, I just believe I just have confidence that God can help me out of my grave situation. That God can help you out of your grave situation. I just believe that God can do it. Do you believe tonight? As I close, I just want to leave with you that I want you to believe that God can. And God will do it. So through it all, so through all of my tribulations and through all of my patience and through all of my experience and through all of my hope, I've learned to lean and depend on God. I've learned that through his suffering, he gives us life. And through our suffering, he gives us hope. And so tonight, I'd like to leave you with just keep on trusting and keep on believing. Because God is able to see you through. God is able to make a way. God is able. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being and allowing us to rest in your ability, allowing us the gift of the Holy Ghost that enable us to have hope in you, that no matter how dim or dark the way may get, to keep our eyes focused to the sky, because we know that joy comes in the morning, and We know that your joy gives us strength. Your joy gives us hope. And so we thank you tonight. And so if anyone under the sound of my voice hasn't made Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, we ask that you would touch their heart to go to somebody's church and give the preacher their hand, but tonight they can give you their heart. Let them purpose in their heart tonight to say, Lord, I want you. I want to trust you. I will wait. I don't mind waiting on you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for encouraging us to go on a little further. And so we give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you. And through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to trust in God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I can touch and agree with that song, through it all. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how it looks, when we have our faith and our hope trusted and built up in God, we can know that through it all, God is going to see us through whatever we're dealing with. So we thank God for that word on tonight. We thank God for the man of God on tonight, Minister Siobhan Rambis, and that awesome, powerful word on tonight. There is purpose in our problems. So I thank God for that word tonight. I know that it was received on tonight. I know that God is going to be glorified through it because it is going to be helping someone, and they're going to go around, and then people know that they heard it through the word on tonight, through this man of God, and now they can face tomorrow. They know that through it all, they can make it because they know they have God on their side. And he said that he is more for us than he is against us. So we need to continue to hold on to our faith, knowing that God is able, and he is a rewarder and of those that are faithful and the faithful doers of his word. When we do what God says do, when we stand on his word, and we allow God's will to be fulfilled in our lives, we know that all things are working together for our good, even though it don't feel good all the time. It don't always look good. But through it all, we know that there is purpose in our problems. So we thank God for the man of God on tonight, Minister Rambis, for that awesome word on tonight. I pray that you were blessed by it. And for those that are listening, I touch and agree with Minister Rambis when he said that sometimes God will come down himself and let us know that it was him who has intervened in our lives. And that's what I was saying at the beginning of the broadcast on tonight when I received a call from my cousin, Pastor Norman King. He's the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina. He comes forth every fourth Saturday night over this worldwide platform delivering God's word. He is a truck driver, and he said as he was going down to the freeway today, as he was heading to all that heavy traffic, doing people going home from work and all the heavy traffic and all of his tires, he could see the blue smoke coming from the tires, and they were locking up, but the truck was still moving towards all the traffic on the freeway. But God intervened. He said it was nobody but God himself. Sometimes the Lord would send an angel, but sometimes the Lord would come himself, and he would let you know that it was him. So that's what he did for my cousin on today. He let them know that it was him. It was one of those God, but God moments. So I thank God for that word on tonight through Minister Randall. So we've got to continue to pray that you will continue to be blessed by this word over this worldwide platform, that you will continue to be blessed by it and continue to share the good news and let others know that they can be blessed by it as well. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to say thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word on tonight through your man of God, Minister Rambis. Heavenly Father, we pray that it was received on tonight. We pray and hope that on tonight that someone that is not saved in Jesus' name on tonight will have received that word, and they will be able to open their own mouth, confess the Lord Jesus Christ even tonight, and be saved in his name, and they will come to know and fulfill that God's purposes in the earth. Heavenly Father, for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, and thank you for every faithful doer of your word all over the land. You know who they are and where they are. So we have to do what encourages their hearts to continue to stand on the wall and be the vessels that you have called for each one of us to be in these last and evil days, that you will be glorified through our lives individually and then as a corporate body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless your people all over the land, continue to encourage our hearts to be more faithful, to be more committed, to do what you have called for us to do, and that when we do have problems in our lives, we know that they are sometimes come to make us strong in you and to build up our most holy faith in you, knowing that you are our problem solver, so that we know that you have no respect of persons. We need to thank you for who you are on tonight. We bless your word. We bless your name on tonight. We just give you glory, honor, and praise. And we pray, Lord, you continue to bless this worldwide ministry that will be everything that you have called and ordained for it to be for such a time as this, that you will be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, on tonight, know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. And while we're doing that, we're going to continue to do what? Give God total praise.